Well, this afternoon I want to speak to you about Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. And the subject that we'll be focusing on is that God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so let's bow together for prayer before we begin. Father, we have come here to bring glory to the name of Jesus, to have your good Holy Spirit work in our heart, to be able to preach and listen to the Word of God, that precious Word by which we can be saved and by which we can grow strong in faith and be ready to meet you when we die. And we pray that you would give us joy this afternoon in thinking about the prospect of your working in our hearts by the power of your precious Spirit to open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your law. Do shine into our heart and give us the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of the truth and a heart to embrace it, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. I would like to exhort each one of you who is a Christian here today to begin to take time to memorize small portions of the Word of God. When the Word of God is there in your mind and your heart, God can use it to do a gracious work in you. I memorized Psalm 23 when I was a very young child. I cannot remember whether it was during the times when my dear father would have me kneel down beside my bed with him, and he would have me repeat after him portions like the 23rd Psalm and the first commandment, the first and greatest commandment. I remember it made a tremendous impression upon me, the fact that he would have both of us kneel down together next to my bed, and then he would say, "Now I want you to repeat this after me." And then he would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and etc. And then he would recite the first and greatest commandment, and it had a very powerful effect upon me because I didn't realize till later on that my own dear father didn't know the Lord when we did this yet. We both would do this, but yet neither one of us knew the Lord. And I think it's a marvelous thing the way that the Lord leads us. Sometimes we can read the Bible and we don't really realize that it's God's Word, that it speaks to us. And so we might actually go to church for many years, or we might even have a Bible, we might even have someone encouraging us to read it, and yet we might not be able to understand or drink in the truth of it the way that the Lord would have us to do so. You know, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts so that we really receive God's Word, so that our heart is opened to it. And then we receive it as what it really is, the very Word of God that performs a work in us who believe. Now, we need to trust in the promises of God, because that's what's going to lead us to know God. Faith is based upon a promise, and you're not saved by your works, no matter how good your works are, but you're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on your behalf. It's when you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only person who's ever lived who was perfect in his obedience to God, then you begin to realize why you need to trust in Him. You need to trust in Him as a substitute for your sins and a substitute for your not obeying God's law perfectly. And when we don't obey God's law perfectly, it's called sin. And we are all sinners, whether we know it or not. I think that, again, oftentimes we may grow up going to church and yet we may not realize that we're a sinner who needs to be saved, that we need God to shine His light into our heart and open our eyes spiritually and take away our resistance to the truth of His Word. But it's really true. We also need to remember the faithfulness of our God. Those of us who have come to know God and have believed in Jesus Christ for our salvation, we need to remember the faithfulness of God, that God is going to lead all of us, His dear people, into the truth. That's what He does for those whom He knows. He leads us into the knowledge of the truth. He leads us to trust in Him and in His promises, that He's going to really do what He has promised in His good time for each one of us who are trusting in Him. I think if we look carefully at the verses that we're studying this afternoon from Psalm 119, that we can see that there are three things that God teaches the believer to do in order that he might persevere in his faith and grow in his relationship to God and obedience to His Word. First of all, God leads the true believer in Jesus Christ to see His Word as the spiritual light for their life. Let me ask you whether you see the Bible that way. Do you see the Bible as God's spiritual light that comes to your mind and your heart? It has to come by the power of the Spirit, or it won't have the good effect it's designed to do. But there is power in the Word of God itself. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and then the Greek. The picture here is that of a person who is walking in darkness. Now, it's not as though David was walking in spiritual darkness. I think David was probably the one who wrote this psalm. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. But he was walking in the darkness in this sense, that he was surrounded by wicked people who wanted to take his life. And he was in a situation that was so dark and difficult that he really needed God to be a light to him, to be a lamp to his feet and a light to his path through his word to him. He really needed that encouragement at that time of the writing of these verses. You'll notice how it says in verse 109, "My life is continually in my hand. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart." Now let me ask you whether or not, when you are in difficult circumstances, whether the Word of God is a light to you, whether or not it shines down on the path of your obedience and your thinking about how you can do what God would have you to do in any given situation. Do you remember that God's Word is a light to your path? What a glorious truth this is, and so very helpful. God is a refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. "Therefore I will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the heart of the sea. There is a river which makes glad the city of God, The streams of it make glad His people. You and I need to see the preciousness of the Word of God alive and active in your heart when you're in your most difficult circumstances of life. Even when my heart is failing, even when my flesh and my heart may fail, that God is the portion of my cup, my inheritance and my lot. He is my stronghold, my rock, my deliverer, my fortress in whom I take refuge. Where did I learn all those things? From the Bible. That's where you learn to trust in God. It says in Matthew 4:16, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And it says to those who sat in the region of the shadow of death that light has dawned upon them. And that was a prophecy that was written 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, but it's talking about Him and when He would come to preach by the Sea of Galilee. And that's what He did. The people were sitting in darkness. They were sitting in spiritual darkness. They knew very little of God's will for their life because their teachers in the synagogue and the temple that they went to were not telling them the true gospel. They were expecting them to be moral people, decent people, but they did not tell them that they needed to be saved. And oh, how many people there are in the world today that are very moral people, but they sit in darkness. They're good people, humanly speaking, but they're still in darkness. And they need the light of life. They need Christ to come into their heart. Christ the perfect one. Christ the holy one. Christ the blessed one. Christ who obeyed God's law, every jot and tittle of it perfect. Jesus Christ who went to the cross and died for our sins. The cruel death on the cross. He died not for Himself, dear ones. He died for those who will trust in Him for this free gift of salvation. Now let me ask you whether you have received Christ. Because if you have received Christ, everything that I will say to you from here on in this message, you will understand. And you will receive it. And even if not, I hope that you will. Well, the Word of God, we're told here, is a lamp. It illumines our darkness. When we hear it, when we read it, light is a metaphorical word picture for truth and righteousness. What a beautiful thing the Word of God is. We have so many word pictures there, and they're meant to communicate to our mind something that is spiritual, but something that goes beyond just the literal physical. That's why Jesus preached in parables. Jesus preached in parables because it was an earthly story with a heavenly and spiritual meaning, so that if you could understand it and receive it, you would be saved. And not everybody was able to understand it, but Jesus spoke to them in parables. The Word of God is a lamp. It illumines our darkness when we hear it. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, that is God and myself. And then the blood of Christ cleanses me from all sin. Is that not a beautiful picture? You may have been defiled by sin in the worst possible way. You may have had people treat you like dirt. You may have thought hard things against God. You may have held a grudge against people all of your life. And yet, if you trust in the Lord Jesus at this time for the forgiveness of your sins and to be able to forgive someone else, the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin, no matter what that sin is. Unless it's the sin against the Holy Spirit, which I trust nobody here has committed. All sins and blasphemies shall be forgiven men, if they will come to Jesus Christ. And we need to see that. Verse 6, the verse before this, says, if we say In 1 John, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Oh, that is just a powerful verse. If we walk in the darkness, darkness is a picture of ignorance and sin. But you see, once God shines his spiritual light into your heart, illumining your darkness, then you have a responsibility to act upon what you see and what you know. Blessed are you if you know the Word of God, but blessed more if you do it, you live it. A person should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He is the light of life. He is truth and righteousness personified. When a person does this, they shall be saved, and their mind shall be opened by God to respond to the gospel. But once their heart is opened, I'm saying their mind and their heart are filled with spiritual light, and this becomes as the light of the dawn to them, which shines brighter and brighter to the perfect day. Can you imagine? But that's what the perfect day is. It's that day when you shall see Jesus face to face. When you die, you will see Jesus immediately if you have believed in him. You will lose your body for a time, but if you believe in Jesus, you will never die spiritually. You will never lose your soul. You will never have to be afraid or cry tears of agony and pain as unbelieving people do, who when they die think that they're fine if they don't trust in Jesus. No, Jesus is the only way to eternal life. And Jesus is the only way to have a clean heart. Jesus is the only way to be forgiven of all of our sins, which if we stop to think of how many our sins are, there are very many that we need to be forgiven of. And which one of us has loved God with all of our heart and soul, mind and strength, or our neighbor as ourself, and done that perfectly and done that consistently? Well, not one of us has. So we need this light that I'm talking about. We need the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the believer should walk in the light, even as Christ is in the light. And the way that a believer walks in the light is by using their Bible to direct their path, that is, the way in which they will live. In other words, you don't think of the Bible just as a book out here for somebody else to read. You think of it as something for you to read if you can do it, or have somebody read it to you. Have somebody talk to you about its contents. Because that's how you'll grow. That's how you'll become strong. Before a person is converted, they're ignorant of how much darkness is in their heart. But when Christ's light comes in shining, then a person really begins to understand, because everything's exposed by light. Everything that I once was as a sinner, everything that I love about my sinfulness, all of this is exposed by light. But then we have a responsibility to do something about it, and that is to trust in the Lord Jesus, that he might cleanse us from all iniquity. The word's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. The scriptures show us more about God and his ways, more about ourselves, and how we need to change to walk in a way that's pleasing to him. Therefore, the conclusion is very simply this. Do you have a Bible? You should read it. If you don't have a Bible, you should try to get one. If you have a Bible and read it, meditate upon it day and night. It says in Psalm 1, and you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and whatsoever you do will prosper. I mean, that's really a tremendous promise. But that's how important it is to read the Word of God. Now, secondly, we need to find here in these verses that the Lord leads an afflicted believer to pray that they might be revived. Are you an afflicted believer? Do you know what I mean by that? You have some affliction. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's bodily. You're suffering in your body, some affliction. Perhaps it's in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. You're troubled about something. You can't sleep. You have a conscience that won't rest, or your thoughts that just run and spin in your head. What are you supposed to do about that? Well, it says here in these verses that the believer in Jesus Christ should pray about this. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. So a great part of persevering in your faith as a Christian is learning to bring every concern that you have to God. Do you see that? Every single concern that you have, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what a beautiful thing this is. You see, God, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too difficult for God. You say, well, you don't understand my circumstance. You don't know how difficult it has been for me in my mind and heart. I just don't believe I can change. Well, you can't without Christ's grace. But with the grace of Christ, you have power. You have the Lord Himself who is on your side and who is with you always and who is speaking to you in your heart by His Word and who has given you precious and magnificent promises to be able to free you from all your sins and deliver you from all of your troubles and all your fears. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him, delivered him from all of his fears, Psalm 34. Oh, dear ones, just believe me when I say to you that when you pray and cry out to God, the Lord hears. There may not be anybody else around, but the Lord is right there. He's always right there. He's not far away from you, as you might expect. He's right there with you. When you trust in Him, when you look to Him by faith, He is right there with you. And what a blessing that is. Listen to what it says in Psalm 84:11. It says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in You." So you see here, to learn to pray, to learn to acknowledge our dependence upon God for every good thing is really the best thing that we can possibly do. God is glorified in your dependence. I know that sounds really weird, doesn't it? Because you stop and you think about it and you think, oh, I don't want to have to depend upon God. I don't want to have to see Christ as my crutch and everything. That's sometimes what people say. Oh, you use Christ as a crutch. Oh, no, no, no. Christ is not merely my crutch. Christ is my life. See, if you really understood how dependent I am upon Christ for grace, you wouldn't just say that He's my crutch. You would say He's my life. And wow, when you understand that, you are in the best possible position. You are shipwrecked upon God. You are stranded upon omnipotence. And that's the best place you can be. Well, it says here, "I'm afflicted much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." And so we pray, and the Lord comes to our aid, and we're taught the lessons of how to find strength in the midst of our difficulties when we pray for His help, when we pray to be taught by the Lord. Let me ask you this question. When you are praying, do you ask the Lord to teach you? Because that's a very good thing to ask the Lord for. If any person lacks wisdom, let them ask from God. He will give liberally to you. He will give generously to you. He's not going to upbraid you. He's not going to say, oh, no, why are you coming back here to me again? You came to me last week, and now here you are again. What is the deal? No, God doesn't do that. God does not do that. God is like this with you when you trust in Jesus. He's all ears. He wants to know what is the concern of your heart, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Oh, this is precious truth. Precious truth. Sometimes we ask, when will this trial that I'm going through come to an end? Well, beloved, it'll come to an end when you've learned the lessons that God wants you to know. I know that sounds, it might even sound hard, but really it's true. God is the greatest of teachers. And He knows how to put us into just the circumstances where we'll be forced to learn from Him what He wants to teach us, if we're sensitive to His will. Really, it's true. God is totally sovereign. He's totally in control. He can free us at any time from calamities, trials, everything in our life. But why doesn't He do it then? Because we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to grow into. He would have you to pray for wisdom if you need it. He would have you pray that you'd be able to exhibit a greater faith, a greater love to Him for all that He does for you, a greater love to people around you. David, who wrote this psalm, says in verse 109, "My life is continually in my hand, and yet I don't forget your law." I don't forget the Bible. I don't forget the scriptures. People are chasing him. People are hounding him, threatening him with death. And he's still, "The wicked have laid a snare for me," he says, "but I have not strayed from your law." Now he's saying that he had enemies who were really laying in wait for him to destroy his reputation and even to take his life if they could. But he didn't use their evil actions as an excuse not to keep God's commandments. No, he says here, "I have not strayed from your commandments, from your precepts." So you and I need to see that the power to do what is right is with God. Do you believe that? The power to do what is right at all times is with God. The power is not in us at all times, but the power is with God at all times to do right and to help the one who wants to do what is right. Isn't that good? Well, thirdly, we need to understand that God leads the true believer to incline their heart to perform His statutes even to the very end. Verses 111 112. "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes even to the end." Now, we're coming to the end of this message, and I just wanted to ask you, in all candidness, are you ready to meet the Lord? Because it's going to happen one of these days with all of us. Yes, it is. And there's two things which the psalmist David did, which you and I, as true Christians, should do on a regular basis to prepare for seeing Him face to face. First, we should remember to take God's Word, His testimonies, as our heritage forever. Why is it I've spent so much time this afternoon talking to you about the Bible? Because it's there that's found your lasting heritage. It's in the truth. When you store up things in heaven, then when you die, you simply go to where the things are stored up. If you've been storing up treasure in heaven, the treasure of God's Word in your heart and mind, when you die, you don't lose that. You may lose everything else in this world, but you do not lose Christ, and you do not lose His Word, which you've hidden in His heart, in your heart. Do you see that? What a glorious thing it is. Because right when you die, the next moment, you will see the Lord Jesus. It won't be a maybe. It's only a matter of time. But if you take God's Word as your lasting heritage, you will do well. Because why? Because it will reside there in your heart. It will bear fruit unto God. You will be a joyful person. All the day long you'll be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Well, how is that done? It's done when Christ is in your heart and He's giving you all these spiritual strength and truth and grace and wisdom and freeing you from all doubts and fears and confusion of mind and heart. I'm not saying that you might not have confusion of mind and heart physically, but in your heart of hearts where Christ is, there's a perfect calm because you know that He is with you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And Psalm 23, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, is that what you want, dear one? I know that's what I want. I don't want to be wondering when I come up to a point when I die and sitting there going, ugh. If I only would have read my Bible, if I only would have spent that time abiding in the truth of God's Word, I would be able to face what I'm going through. But you see, that's exactly why I'm here this afternoon, is so that you won't have to be in that kind of anguish. It's so that you will take your Bible or get one and that you will read it and draw strength and nourishment spiritually from it and gain the knowledge of the Holy One and the knowledge of His ways and the truth about salvation and how you can become strong in faith, and that you will take all of that truth and that you will run with it even when your body tells you that you cannot run. You know, even when your body is dying, you can be spiritually running. Run the race with endurance that's set before you all the way to the end. That's what it says here. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the very end. The very end of what? The very end of your life. And your life is precious in the sight of God when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God looks at you and He doesn't see you anymore when you believe Jesus. He sees Jesus in you. And He shows you favor because of that from beginning to end, all the way through from the point where you trust Him to the point where you die and are ushered into His presence forever. I know my dear father's in heaven today. He used to say, someday I'm going to die and the angels are going to waft me up to glory, he'd say. And that was precious, because I'm sure that's what they did. They carried him up to God, and that's where he is today. And he's waiting the resurrection from the dead. And someday Christ is coming. And when he comes, our glorious King comes, he will raise all the dead. Every single person who's ever lived will be raised from the dead. And they will all stand before him. And they will all confess him to be Lord of all, even those who cannot keep their soul alive. So how much more beautiful a thing it is when you hear the gospel this afternoon, and maybe for the first time, you believe. That's precious. That's very precious. I hope that you'll do that. I hope that you will take Christ and that you will run with Him. Run with me, Jesus, all the way to the finish line. Well, let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for this dear group of people here in the room today and the residents here in this nursing home. We pray that your salvation and your strength and your grace will come to them with power even today, and that you will hold them up, dear Lord, in your loving arms through all the difficulties of this life and bring them to eternal glory. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence with us here this afternoon, and pray that you will work in our hearts your precious grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe we could sing together one more. Sing together one more song. I like to sing. Do you like to sing? About 121. Okay, well, let's try to sing that one. I guess we can sing it if I know it. Even if I don't know it, we can probably sing it. Here we go. Are you ready? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our meeting is ended, but the Lord is still with us. And it's good that you came today. The Lord has helped us today.